This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
'94, WIP. This is off the beaten track totally, but it is really, I'll say, unfortunate and wrong. And this is as we start hour number two. Obviously, we're going to talk about the Eagles. People want to bury Jonathan Gannon, and the Eagles didn't play well enough. They can straighten that out tomorrow. But it is wrong what Ticketmaster did to these Taylor Swift fans. They obviously knew the demand for her shows all over the country was going to be big. And they told Taylor Swift that they could handle it. And they couldn't. People sat on the phone for hours. They got the codes with the ability to buy tickets, and Ticketmaster crashed. You know, I understand if things like that can happen, but you had to know to prepare for that. And I think it's wrong, and I think Ticketmaster has some kind of responsibility to these people, and whatever. It's just, I know it's a, you know, it's a popular show, and I'm actually a Swiftie, but it has nothing to do with me getting tickets. It's just what I saw happen to these people is disgraceful, disgraceful what Ticketmaster had happened to them. And it's their fault because they told Taylor Swift that everything would be fine. Well, it obviously was not. And they should be, I don't know what you can do to them, but they certainly should be criticized heavily for what happened in that situation. All right, let's go back to the phone. Steve, you're on WIP.
Oh, hey, Howard.
Hi.
Got a question about Bryce and his surgery. Do you feel it, him being a non-pitcher, it's not as serious, and his recovery will be, you know, less strenuous?
Well, I don't know how long Ohtani was out. Ohtani could hit, but he couldn't pitch. Obviously, pitching is a little bit different. Yeah, I mean, it's less serious, but you don't want to screw it up again. You got to let it. I mean, you've got to let it heal.
Right.
So it depends on, you know, how serious it is. He's going to be out for, you got to figure, at least a month to a month and a half of the season. At least, I would think that would be the case.
Yeah.
You know, and he's going to be probably a DH for a time after that. And you wanted to change that because you wanted Castellanos or Schwarber to be your DH at times. You know,
that's
not good for them defensively either. But
I mean, his arm out there is a weapon anyway.
Yeah.
But do you remember, talking about the bad calls, this is basketball. Do you remember how in the 72 Olympics the Team USA got ripped off?
Yep, that goes back quite a way. That's actually pretty good. And those guys didn't accept their silver medal. Those silver medals are still sitting somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, because they didn't win the silver. They won the gold.
Right.
72 Olympics is pretty good. They really got screwed. You know, there's so many. There are a lot of calls. You know, it's just terrible. But that was really blatant. But you're in the mix there, Steve. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Howard.
All right. Take care. All right. Let's go to Justin. You're on WIP.
Hey, Howie. Good morning. Last caller stole my answer, but it's all good. I like what Howie did with these DTs and getting these DTs in here. I think they're good for about 20, 25 snaps, so I think they're going to be fine in that rotation tomorrow. You know how Philly fans are. You know, you get one loss, and everybody just starts losing their mind. Everybody starts freaking out.
Oh, yeah, it's just the end of the world. The sky is falling.
Right. And
they bury the coach. They get players, you know, you don't find holding the players responsible. You know, the coach can coach him, and there's coaches that don't do a good job, but Jonathan Gannon is a good coach, a very good coach, and he does a good job. And the players, I mean, you got to make tackles. Don't you have to make tackles?
Yeah, absolutely right.
Okay.
To like 10 soldiers up there. I said, I got this crazy story for you. I don't know if you'll remember this. It was the first training camp after the Eagles won the Super Bowl. It was an open practice. You know, a lot of people are there. You're on the field. And two black guys said, hey, Howie. And you're saying, hey, you're talking to us, and let us try on your Super Bowl ring. And you go, no, I'm good. I'm like, come on, Howie, let me try this Super Bowl ring on. And you're
all
like,
right, let's
no.
Get to the end of this story here.
And the crowd goes crazy. Howie, you call us down, and you let us try the ring on. Do you remember
that? I did.
Yeah.
I did.
We got a picture with you and everything.
I'm in trouble. Because if I called you down, you're not allowed to come down.
That's why the story is so crazy. That security allowed me to come down.
Well, I don't want to hear that because then I might be perceived as a nice guy. I don't want to.
Listen, let me give you my sports calls. The only one I can think of. I just saw this documentary. Dekature, I think, called Florida State in the World Game 6. I think it was like 85-86 World Series.
Who was? What was it?
Dekature calls Florida State. So, like, in the World Series, 1985.
Yeah. I kind of remember that. And there was no replay back then.
You're right.
All right, I'll put you in the mix. I don't know if it's going to win, but I'll put you in the mix.
Okay.
All right, save that picture forever, too, by the way, genius. see you later. Let's go to Paul. Paul, you're on WIP.
Good morning, Howard.
Morning. How are you this fine morning?
Hungover.
Ooh, boy.
I think from your comments I just heard, I was going to talk to you about now that a year and a half or season and a half has passed, you know, kind of your assessment of Nick Sirianni and Jonathan Gannon, but I think you kind of have mentioned it.
Yeah, I mean, they're good coaches. You know, you can only do so much. They're good coaches.
Okay, but I wanted to kind of transfer that to now that we're halfway through the season. What do you think about the fact of, you know, when they didn't have the guys playing in preseason and it wasn't as physical and the practices weren't? You have any thoughts on that now that half the season is done?
Thoughts on,
Strategy, the strategy behind not having the practices and the physical.
Yeah, but everybody's doing it. And it's not just them.
Right, but I'm
most teams are not. I think you need more practice. I think you need more physical practices. But now with injuries and all that, I obviously they worry about that. I think you need more, but that's not going to change. If anything, it's going to go the other way. It's not going to change.
And it's only going to get worse.
Exactly.
It's not worse. Worse might not be the right term, but it's only going to be less. And do you think that's had any effect on the season so far, injury wise?
I how do I know? I mean, I don't know. It's just obviously players. There's still players that get injured in practice, but not many. It probably has a little bit of an effect. I mean, they wouldn't do it. I mean, they use too much sports science nonsense. But I think you need more. But everybody is. That's why the quality of play, and it doesn't matter to people. They watch football because they watch football. And they're going to, because they bet football, because they do everything with football. Football is king.
And you're thinking the quality is less, and that's why the games aren't, or teams aren't as, maybe as good right now? Or
yeah, I think that's exactly what it is. Yep. Absolutely. And it's not going to change. It is not going to change.
Understood. All right. My guess is the blown call by Jim Joyce for the perfect game for Armando Galarraga.
Oh, yeah, that was a good. Yeah, and they didn't have. I guess they didn't have replay then.
No, I don't think.
And Jim Joyce took response. Jim Joyce actually, after that series with Detroit, he actually was in Philadelphia the next series, and I actually spoke to him. And he absolutely 100% took responsibility for that. And I think he said that.
He said something to the commissioner and tried to get it overruled, but the commissioner didn't do it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. They should have gotten it overruled. Should have gotten it overruled. Absolutely.
All right, Howard. Have a good weekend.
So, you too. But that's actually a great one. That's actually a great one. But you know, you can identify a lot of reasons why things happen, but I think this game against Washington was clearly the Eagles didn't play well. I don't know if I would think their mental approach. You know, it's interesting, and I don't know what the stat is. I don't know if Dick Vermeil brought it up. Teams that are undefeated, I don't think it might have been Mark Lawrence when I talked to him, that are undefeated like 7 or 8 games into the season and play a less than 5, this is crazy, then play a less than 500 team, those are the teams that undefeated teams lose to most of the time. And it happens. For those people that thought the Eagles were going to go undefeated, you were on dope. There's no way they were going to go undefeated. It's too hard a game. It's too difficult. You can point to a lot of reasons, the physical practices, all that. Everybody's in the same boat. That's just what it is. It's not going to be as physical during the season. It's just not. And that's just the way it is. But everybody is in the same boat. One loss is obviously hurts a lot of fans. And I know people were hoping not for undefeated. That is absolutely, totally ridiculous. Ridiculous to think that they were going to go undefeated. But they are 8-1. I laugh at this. Yeah, this coach has got to adjust. Well, Jonathan Gannon's got to adjust. They only scored 6 points the second half. 6 points. So, what, did he not adjust? I mean, he either adjusted or the team played better. They did different things. What do you think? They're out there with their thumb in their nose? Their finger in their nose? I mean, these guys look at play after each sequence of plays. They're all looking at their tablet, and they're all, you know, with the plays. I don't think it's just still pictures. They're always, always trying to adjust. But when people blame the coach, you're just flat out wrong. I mean, some coaches are idiots, and we know that, and we can identify that in most cases. Like Josh McDaniel is a horrible head coach. If he last passed this year, I don't know what kind of contract he got. It's ridiculous. But you can identify bad coaches. But Jonathan Gannon is a good... They were giving up 14 to 15 points a game before Monday night. It was a bad game. And a bad game with turnovers, that's a bad combination. Turnovers are bad enough. But a poor game with bad turnovers. But there's so many different things that people want to look at. You know, sometimes it is laughable. But I know fans are fans, and that's basically what it is, and I understand it. It's just Ruben Frank called out Angelo. I think Ruben says good things, and he says some things that are off the wall. But, I mean, he works at doing what he does. He called out Angelo because, you know, it was all over Gannon. I mean, it's just, you know, it's easy, especially when you don't talk to people and you don't, you know, you just, well, whatever somebody writes. you know, I'm not singling out any one person that doesn't do that. I mean, that's what WIP is, and that's what talk radio is, and that's what you have a voice, and that's all great that you have a voice. But sometimes you got to understand, at least try to understand a little about the game. And if things don't go right, sometimes there's reasons beyond the coach. But, you know, with everything that they've done, the quality of play around the league, obviously, when you look at teams, isn't what it was in the past. But I don't think it's going to be this way next year. But everybody's in the same boat. So when you identify all those things and you identify physical practices, they actually had one last week. Did they have it before the Yeah, they had it before the Redskins game. They did have a physical practice. I think it was on the Thursday. They did have a physical practice. You know, trying to teach technique and tackling and all. But it's just there's things that happen that are going to happen, especially in a 17-game season. And it usually happens against a bad team. And that's what happened, because the Redskins aren't a good team. They can pound their chest all they want. It's ridiculous. Taylor Heinicke is, unfortunately for Carson Wentz, is better than Carson Wentz, but he's not any great shakes. But there was a lot of things that the team, that the players didn't do that they've got to do better. And I think they will do better on Sunday. I guess everybody will be happy, and Jonathan Gannon won't get fired next week when the Eagles beat the Colts on Sunday. We'll talk to Mark Lawrence at 9:40 to get his take on that. We do have some open lines if you'd like to get through. Our question today for the DeBruno Brothers $100 gift certificate: the worst officiating calls in the four major sports. Call. Now, let me say, I don't believe the officiating cost the Eagles the game. There was clearly one horrible call, clearly. And I don't know how the NFL addresses that, but that's not why they lost the game. All right? There's other things that come into play. All right, the number is 215-592-9494. So you got a chance to win the $100 gift certificate. We've got some good responses, but looking for yours as well. I'm Howard Eskin. We're at the Borgata. Eagles will win tomorrow, and everybody will be happy again. And Jeff Saturday again will be Jeff Saturday, the head coach with no experience. Beat the Raiders. Big deal. You beat the Raiders. Please. The Raiders suck. There's certain teams that really do suck, and the Raiders are one of them. Now, that's a bad coach. Josh McDaniel is a fraud. I'm Howard Eskin. We're at the Borgata. We'll get back to your calls. The time now is 9:20, and if you're in the restaurant, hospitality, or casino business, you know that a great point-of-sale system can truly make a difference in your success. It's hard to find a company that offers everything you need and is willing to customize a game plan to fit your individual needs. Well, if you've been looking for the perfect POS partner, you need, yes, you do, to call. And they are my friends at PDQ Signature Systems. They are my friends. Great people. Joe Flynn is a great guy. PDQ has everything you need for success, including mobile POS, self-serve kiosks, enterprise reporting, contactless functionality, data and cybersecurity, and the best service and support in the industry. PDQ POS is the fastest, it's the easiest, and the most reliable POS available. That's why PDQ POS has been the top-rated restaurant management system for over 35 years. It's a long time to be really that good. Whether you have a single-location restaurant or thousands of locations, Joe Flynn, who heads up that great team, will create a custom game plan that will help your business succeed. Trust me, if you want a point-of-sale system that will truly make a difference, you need PDQ POS. Schedule your free demo and business consultation. You can do it today. And here's the website, pdqpos.com. That's pdqpos.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
'94 WIP on a fine day, cold as hell, but actually I don't know how cold, hell's not supposed to be cold, but whatever, it's just an expression. So it is cold though, it is cold, at least this week's game, and I'm not a big fan of dome stadiums, but at least it's indoors. And then we got a night game again with Green Bay. The NFL just loves those night games for television, just loves them. Tate, you're on WIP.
Howard the Legend.
Correct.
What's up? I would never call you king, but you are a legend, brother. How you doing?
But I am the king.
Negative.
And I didn't give myself the nickname like people on the station have done. You know, it's fraudulent if you give yourself. Like LeBron James.
He gave himself
King James. Can't do that.
It's fraudulent. You got to bring LeBron in it. Come on.
Yeah, LeFraud.
Come on.
Okay.
All right, so Howard, it's definitely been consistent that you trash the Phillies, you trash the Sixers, but you're the bodyguard for the Eagles.
Okay, well, let's go through it step by step. How did I trash the Phillies?
All season. Did you think they were going to make the World Series?
No, but who did? Whoa! You're an idiot. All right.
Yeah.
Here's what.
Call me what you want.
They had a flawed lineup, loaded with strikeouts. They kind of backed into the playoffs, let's be honest, because Milwaukee at home played poor. Okay, so I didn't trash them. I talked about their deficiencies. Defensively, they weren't good enough. They have too many strikeouts, and they don't generate runs moving runners around the bases. They don't generate runs like that, and that in the playoffs. So to say I trash them, that's really over the top.
Yeah, you did.
And I questioned what a lot of people questioned. And then St. Louis gave them the first game, which got them on a roll, because that manager is an idiot. Okay, so that, all right, so now we talk about, now we got the Phillies out of the way. Now let's talk about the Sixers.
Yeah.
They're not going to win a championship with this team. They got a poorly constructed team. The general manager is a total fraud. He could have kept Seth Curry and traded Thybulle, and he loves Thybulle. Thybulle stinks, all right? Thybulle stinks. Do we agree with that? Okay. Okay. So they're a poorly constructed team with no leader. No leader. None. Joel Embiid is a terrific player, and I've always said that, but he's not a leader, and you can't. Yes, I have. Yes, I have. I just don't think he's a leader, and I think he worries more about his numbers than the team winning. And that's my opinion.
My last call called you talking about him coming late and all of that. So you don't.
No, I didn't say he came late. But he comes when he wants to. Well, he comes when he wants to.
The last time I called you, you said he comes an hour before the game. And I said that doesn't matter. Let me say one thing.
Well, but if you have team rules, you have team rules. All right, but I don't think he's a leader. Let's just deal with what he does.
Let me speak to the Sixers point first.
Okay.
Okay. Howard, we haven't won since the 80s. So it's so easy to say we don't have a team that's going to win a championship. It's not that easy to win a championship. If you want to impress me, tell me who we're going to get to win. Because anybody can say we're not going to win with what we have. We haven't won since the 80s. And if 450 players in the NBA, only 20 win in a year. That's 5%.
Okay, how many teams have only gone to the second round? They either lose... And don't make the playoffs for years. They tried to lose. That was a disgrace. That process is the biggest fraud in sports.
We all know that.
Okay, but they haven't gotten past the second round, genius. I mean, come on. That's not good enough.
You're stating the Captain Obvious. We know that.
Okay, well then what's the issue?
Because you can tell me you're not going to make it. That's easy.
Okay, now let's get to the third team you mentioned. We know the Flyers sucks. We won't even deal with that. Okay, so the third team, the Eagles.
The
Eagles are the last team to win a championship in town. That was 2017. They haven't gotten there, and it's really hard, and we all know it's hard to get to the championship round or the Super Bowl. But they are the best. Right, this year, are they not the best team in town?
Yes, they are.
Now, okay, end of story.
Say something bad about the Eagles before I hang up.
Go ahead.
You say something bad about them.
Well, they were horrible on Monday night. They were horrible. Wait a minute. I said things. Wait a minute. Fletcher Cox has got to be better, and I don't know that he can. That's bad.
Not a player. The team.
The team lost a game that they were sloppy and made too many mistakes, and you're not going to win games like that. Not if they play like that again on Sunday, and I don't think they will not win on Sunday. I mean, that's not positive. It's negative. They can't play like that and win. And when I do the Brandon Graham show, I ask him questions about that. You hear what you want to hear because you're in love with the Sixers. Go kiss their ass.
You are with the Eagles.
Hey, listen, I get, trust me on this, and I don't want to get into specifics. Wait a minute. I know because it's such an easy narrative. I get more heat from the Eagles than I do from any other team in town. Trust me.
And that's why you don't say nothing bad about them.
But that's because I do say things that they don't like. You know what, Tate? Give me your worst officiated call so I can get you off the phone.
I think somebody took it. Legend. Yo, I miss arguing with you, man.
Okay.
Later, bro.
All right, see you, bro. It's such an easy narrative. Oh, you always positive about the Eagles. They're 8-1. They're 8-1. What do you want me to say? They're 8-1. And I have criticized certain situations, and I wasn't sure about Jalen Hurts going into the season. He's played much better than I thought he did. That's not positive. That wasn't positive going in. Played much better. But, everybody wants me. So they always go to the Eagles. Oh, the Phillies did stink during the year. They did stink. They lost 6 games to the Cubs. 6 straight games to the Cubs. Were they good? Stop. Stop already. You're giving me a headache with all this nonsense. Rob, you're on WIP.
What's up, King? You know what? Take some Excedrin and you'll be okay, man.
Yeah, I'll double dose it, too.
Well, you know what? When people, you know what? The word fan comes from fanatic. So when a person's really a fanatic, you know, they go overboard, especially with these Phillies fans. But listen, I want to talk about the Sixers, man. You know, I listened to your program, and I listened to your station, not you. And people were talking about, oh, they were great signings, P.J. Tucker. That guy's 150 years old, man.
The general manager's a fraud, P.J. Tucker, and you listen to the post-game show last night, oh, his toughness. His toughness, my ass. He fouled Giannis. He had no points. He had one shot. I know he's not a scorer, but,
He's a waste of money out there.
For 3 years. 3 years of it.
Yeah, don't worry. Well, you know what? You know what? Jimmy Lynam, I'm like you. I like Jimmy Lynam, but when he said last year that, Embiid is going to be the next Will Chamberlain, come on, stop it, Jimmy.
Jimmy Lynam is over the top kissing ass. He is, and I love Jimmy. He is. To say he's better than Wilt, Wilt would stuff Embiid in the trash can. Wilt was so dominant as a player. I don't care when he played. Wilt was... If it wasn't Michael Jordan, Wilt would have been the best ever. Stop. Wilt played over 48 minutes a game one season because he played every minute and every minute of the overtime. Can Embiid do that? No.
And
Embiid's a terrific player, but to compare him to Wilt Chamberlain, Jimmy, you're on drugs. Jimmy Lynam is on drugs.
I think Joel Embiid gave him a payoff for that. But here's real quick. Michael Jordan's not the best player. Will Chamberlain's the greatest player I've ever seen. I've seen them all.
Well, yeah, but Jordan won 6 straight championships, and he left for a year and a half.
And still 11, so he's the greatest player,
yeah.
All right?
Yeah, Will averaged 30 points and I think 20, and I know 20-some rebounds against Russell. So, Russell, he didn't play Russell. When he played Russell, he still averaged 30 points and over 20 rebounds. Please, give me a break.
Here's real quick before I get to my missed call. I talk five, and I've seen these guys, not on grainy film, but in person. My top five NBA players of all time are Wilt Chamberlain, Bill Russell, Oscar Robertson, Michael Jordan, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. That's the five that I've seen.
I wouldn't put Russell in the top five, but I'd put Kobe in the top five. Over LaFraud. Kobe's a killer. In the last 2 minutes, he's a killer. Yeah. What's your worst call?
That Saints game against the Rams.
Yeah, somebody took it. Somebody took it.
Oh man. Well,
right.
You know what?
Nice try. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
No. Here's one, Howard. The Tuck call.
That's already taken, too.
Ooh. All right. Thanks.
All right. WIP. Eagles are 8-1. And you bitch. But that's Philadelphia. They did not play well on Monday night, and we know that. All right, we'll take a look at them this week, and to help us take a look at the college football and the pro football would be Mark Lawrence. Mark, how are you this fine day?
I'm doing just terrific, Howard. How are you doing?
That's good. And by the way, and I will send this out publicly, my condolences to the loss of your sister. And I know it's been a tough week for you, and I appreciate you coming on. Thanks very much.
I thank you very much, and looking forward to it. Thanks, Howard.
All right. So now let's kind of look at this college card. They're getting slimmer each week because I guess they're trying to spread them out before we get to the bowl games. And the bowl games are a farce anyway, most of them. But nonetheless, all right, let's take a look at the college. Who do you like?
What we're going to do is this is the time of the year in the Southeast Conference where they schedule these cupcake nobody teams the second to last week of the season, basically to kind of pump up their rankings, if you will, for that purpose. But you got two teams in the SEC that are going to be favored against teams that can play. In fact, they have better offenses and better defenses than the opponents do, and I think they could be in trouble today. But first, we're going to take Western Kentucky plus the points against UAB. And this is a Western Kentucky football team that has been really good under its head coach in the second half of the season since he's been there. They're 11-2 to the spread in their 13 road games second half of the season, Western Kentucky. You got Auburn looking dead ahead of Alabama next week. And we all know about the Auburn situation with the head coach. You know they're in a head coaching search right now. They're not going to hire Cadillac Williams, I can assure you that.
Well, let me just add this. Charles Barkley said this week somewhere, and Charles makes a lot of comments, and obviously he's close to the Auburn program. He says Deion Sanders will have a job as a head coach in the SEC. The only place I can think of it would be Auburn.
Whoa, yeah, that would shake things up, I'd say the least, yeah.
Yes, so you just let me pass that along.
Okay, cool. but it fits, it all fits. Western Kentucky, don't be surprised if they pull the upset here. I like them as one of the plays today.
All right, who else do you like?
The other guy's going to be, we're going to fade LSU, who just clinched winning the SEC West. They're going to be playing in the Southeast Conference title championship game. I can see them playing down to UAB's level today, Alabama-Birmingham. Better offense, better defense for Birmingham, taking 15 points. And this is a Birmingham team that not only can they play, they need one more win to become bowl eligible. So they'll be coming with everything they've got. I could see LSU just obviously playing down to this level here and not being so excited about this game after just popping the champagne last week.
All right, so now here, and that's the team you identified coming off a game. Is there a team that came off a big win that you might look the other way this week?
LSU might be that guy, okay?
Yeah,
you know,
right,
was
right.
In that given sense. But I don't think there's a team that's off of a celebratory win that so big that they're going to be letting down. I give you the answer for LSU right there, honestly.
Okay. There's another team that and you look at and you say Syracuse got off to such a great start and they have fallen apart. Now it's hard to lay 9.5 with Wake Forest, but has Syracuse just kind of packed it in this season?
Well, what is they're being exposed right now. you know, after, like you say, they got up to that 6-0 start. They've lost four straight. They've been drilled in all four of those football games, too. Not just losses,
yeah,
but
I know they get murdered. Yeah.
And you got a Wake Forest football team here that's going to be in a nasty mood coming in here. They've lost three in a row, all as favorites. They've got to stop the bleeding themselves as well. I think this is a nice spot for Wake Forest. Their last home game for Wake Forest. I think they can continue Syracuse woes here today.
Okay. All right. So now let's look at the pros. Who do you like?
We're going to stay with the same theme. Better offense, better defense against two favorites I think can be had on Sunday. First is going to be the New York Jets taking 3.5 against New England. This is a Jet football team that has same-season revenge. They got beat 22-17 just 3 weeks ago. And, you know, since Robert Saleh's taken over this football program here, they're terrific in games against opponents that are off wins and covers in their previous game. He's been in seven of them. They've won and covered six of those seven games. You've got the Patriots, just 2-7-1 to the spread off a bye coming into this football game here. Belichick, for whatever reason, I don't know what it is. His teams don't prepare in the bye. I don't know if he gives them time off. I don't know what the deal is. But I think people are not giving the Jets the credit that they deserve here right now with this better offense, better defense, and the revenge. I'm going to play them plus the 3.5.
Yeah, they might be the better football team in New York.
They might be, exactly.
It's just people don't, you know, it's the Jets. You say, oh, they stink. Well, they don't stink this year. They're actually better than a half-decent team. All right, who else do you like?
The other guy's going to be Chicago Bears taking 3 against Atlanta. Again, better offense, better defense. The Bears have rushed the ball for more than 2.25 or more of the last 5 football games in a row. They've scored more than 28 points the last 3 games in a row. Their offense has really come alive for the Chicago Bears. This Atlanta football team has to be the biggest fraud in college or NFL this season. They've lost the yards 9 straight games in a row.
And yet they won.
Yeah, well, they won early, okay? Yeah. I think what's happening is, you know, they're being exposed right now also. You know, they got out to that pretty decent start here, but, you know, they lost 3 of their last 4, haven't beat the spread in any of them. And 9 consecutive times they've been beat in the yards. This is a bad team laying points here. We've got to play the Bears, who are playing much better football, and grab the points with Chicago.
You know, a team I don't understand how they win. And they played on Thursday night. How does Tennessee win? I don't even get it.
I don't get it either. You know, statistically, they're in the same category as Atlanta is, in that they get drilled in the stats all the time. Tennessee does,
right?
But whatever the formula he's got, Mike Vrabel, I mean, it's working. My goodness, it's what, 7 straight covers in a row?
No,
unbelievable. Despite getting out yarded, and you know, Bill Belichick's team, New England, when they were on that great season that they had, they were doing the same thing. They were getting out yarded in football games, but yet still winning them. Andy Reid, that's a big trait of his. The same thing, let other teams push you around, but still win football games. But you eventually get exposed, and eventually Tennessee's going to come back down to earth here.
All right, let's take a look at the Eagles. I know nobody ever likes to lay points on the road, but I just don't think Indianapolis is that good, and they beat a bad team last week. So, you know, oh, Jeff Saturday won his first game. Against who? Against a coach that shouldn't be a head coach with the Raiders. But how do you look at the Eagles game?
Well, they were 2 train wrecks last week, the Colts and the Raiders, in that football game. Somebody had to win the game.
Yeah, right.
You know, you wonder whether or not the Raiders can be exposed here this week, because it's a farce what's going on with that franchise right now, with Saturday, yeah, the assistant coach, and all those things going on there. My biggest concern is this: 2 things for the Eagles here. Number one, the snapped win streak. Teams usually kind of revert back after having had that bubble burst in that particular sense. The other is the loss. Their rushing defense has really kind of become porous here of late. And if you will, and I think it's all attributed to Jordan Davis being out. And if you take a look at when Davis was in there, they were allowing just 110 rushing yards a game. Without him, they're allowing 155.
Right.
Some way, if they could stabilize that, you know, if they can shore that up, you know, I don't see them losing this football game, but I don't know if they're going to win comfortably. That's my concern.
Yeah, so it's a game you should stay away from.
I think
sure.
So, yes. Right.
You know what? The Giants line seems a little short. I look at a line and say, why are they only 3? It is Detroit. But the Giants maybe aren't as good as people want in New York want them to be. Do you like a side in that game?
I don't, but I'll say this. Detroit's in that same bad category. They've been out-pushed around 6 games in a row in the stats.
Yeah.
You know, they've got Thanksgiving Thursday coming up here. I don't know if I'd step in front of the Giants. Not that I want to back them, because I think they're phony, as you said. I think the Jets are the much better of the two New York teams. I think it's a real difficult game, and I would not lay points at the Giants. In no way would I lay points at the Giants.
All right, if people have interested in Mark's services, 800-321-7777, on the internet at playbooksports.com. Mark, try to have a good week, and I know it's difficult in your situation, but a happy Thanksgiving as well.
Well, thank you very much, Art. I appreciate that very much. Good therapy for me to be in with you today before I make that trip, so thanks.
Okay, good.
Okay, be
all
good.
Right, bye-bye. Yeah, Mark's sister passed away.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.